And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Hi, my name is Roy Morgan. I'm glad to be with you this Saturday morning. And this program is called Health Essentials. You know, I was just thinking to myself a while ago, what if I'm wrong about some of these things I say? And you know what? I have been wrong in the past. And the way that I know that I'm wrong is I'll come across an article and it'll kind of prove it differently. But you know how this stuff works. You go with the information that you have at the time, and as new research or information comes out, you study it and take a look at it and say, okay, I can improve what I've said before in the past. One of the things that I know for a fact that I probably have messed up on is flaxseed. And whether you know it or not, this might be the first time you hear it, but flaxseed just has one of the highest concentrations of estrogens, and that may not exactly be the right thing for men to consume. And one of the articles that always disturbed me was that men that consumed a lot of flaxseed, they had more prostate cancer. And so on one level, maybe I'd say emotion, because flaxseed is like one of the most amazing fibers of all time. You talk about able to scrub someone's digestive tract squeaky clean to where you can remove all the old fecal debris and the waste and the toxins. It's amazing. But not if it causes prostate cancer in men. So I kind of keep that in mind from time to time. I just want to make sure that I'm trying to be accurate here. I have all the answers. I mean, I'm just like you are. I just tend to be very curious like you are, and I like to study things. And it's always interesting to me to understand the mechanism of how things work. And so if you're listening this morning, and you're curious about what do you do to improve your health, and you want to make sure that your body stays in relatively good working order, and you know, part of that is just not having your body break down on you. I mean, if you attend church services on a Sunday morning, and there may come a point at the end of the service or sometimes before the service that somebody gets up to make announcements that are relevant to members of the church. And they may say, pray for Sister Jones. She's going to have hip replacement, knee replacement, and shoulder replacement, not all on the same day. I'm sure that'd be too much for the body to tolerate. You realize how exhausting it is having a surgery? Well, if you've had one, you know that it just drains you of your life force and your energy. It's exhausting. Of course, there are other things that will exhaust the body also. And, you know, you don't want a person not recovering from a procedure, especially when they need one. But it doesn't take a genius to figure out that you cannot outlive your joints. You can't. So keeping your joints in good working order, it might be one of the things that we can start to do if you're not doing anything right now, because that's your ticket to having a long life with the fewest health problems of all time. You tell me, a person that cannot walk from the front of the store to the back of the store to purchase eggs or cheese or butter or yogurt, I said the back of the store because that's usually where the dairy products are, just an example. Or would you rather be in such poor working order that you have to use a motorized handicap compatible cart, shopping cart? You've seen those like at the store, haven't you? Well, I came across this article, and to me it's very, very interesting. And I realize me reading the details of this article to you is not the same as you reading it, but the title of the article is called Glucosamine, the Life Extender. The reason why it may not mean the same to you is you can't see the graphs and the charts. I can. And so to me, it looks pretty impressive. So have you ever heard of a nutritional supplement? It's usually sold over the counter. You can get it just about anywhere. You can get it at the health food store. You can get it at these grocery stores. Even large stores that sell hardware and groceries, you can find it there too, on the aisles that sell nutritional products. You can buy it online if you want to. It's called glucosamine sulfate. Have you ever heard of glucosamine? Well, here's a study. It is interesting to me. And for all I know, maybe it'll be interesting to you. And maybe you'll be able to glean one or two points and you'll say, hey, this is valuable to me. I think I'd like to consider that. Okay. Glucosamine is an amino sugar that, according to small studies, it protects the joints. And according to other studies that have been done, sometimes by pharmaceutical companies, it has absolutely no benefit whatsoever. It's just a waste of time. How dare you think about taking glucosamine sulfate for bad knee and hip pain? We want you to take Tylenol 3 or take Advil or ibuprofen or take Mobic. Anyway, so there might be a little bit of competition there. You know what I mean? And so this same glucosamine sulfate, according to a study from Swiss and German molecular biologists, which when I saw that, I thought, what are German molecular biologists doing studying the effects of glucosamine? Anyway, well, this is what they found. They found that when a human being or an animal takes glucosamine sulfate, it seems to imitate the same effects as if you were practicing a low-carbohydrate diet. Or, another way of saying that is, if you have tried to cut out sugars and carbs and you found a benefit to it, well, that's what they're saying. They think that glucosamine tends to kind of do something along those lines. Anyway, one of the things I want to start off with, this study that I'm looking at about glucosamine, the life extender, it wasn't done by a supplement manufacturer that was trying to pump up, you know, get some research to pump up their product so they could sell more of it. It was actually done by the German government. So, to me, that's intriguing. Now, I didn't say somebody didn't pay him off. I'm just joking. Come on. Number two, the journal that this article was published in is called Nature Communications. And when I was reading about, because I looked it up, and there was one link to it that said that Nature Communications, a journal, is in the top 2% of the most scientific journals out there. So this is like really prestigious, and so you got to really have your act together to get an article published in there, which I'm not trying to tell you that means a lot to you or a lot to me, but it's just interesting. And last but not least, the gentleman that's in charge of this study, it was led by a gentleman by the name of Michael Ristow, which he's actually a pretty big name in anti-aging, antioxidants, and carbohydrate metabolism. So he's well known to be a really good student and researcher. And so anyway, I'm just saying those three things together make me think that I want to read this article. So as I'm reading this article, I'm just going to make a few points to you. I'm not going to read it to you, but I just selected points. So, did you know that glucosamine, for the most part, it's found in supplements that comes from where? It comes from crab shells. So we're talking about those little guys that live in the ocean, and fish find them super delicious, and sometimes human beings find crabs delicious also. But did you know, and this is another thing that makes it interesting to me, did you know that glucosamine is also found in the human body? It's produced by your own joints. That's one of the reasons why I find vitamin D3 so interesting. It's because your body makes it. You know, you put your skin in contact with sunlight, and then the ultraviolet light helps your body make the conversion of cholesterol into what's called vitamin D3. That's one of the reasons why vitamin D3 is so interesting to study, is because your body, under the right conditions, just makes it naturally. Does that make sense? Well, glucosamine is something that your body tries to produce anyway. So is this starting to make sense here? And so there can come a situation in the human body where your body just doesn't work the way it used to, and it probably doesn't make glucosamine or vitamin D the way it used to. So thus, we might enter the concept of supplementation. For what purpose? To try to keep your body in good working order. So every joint that you have in your body, whether it's your thumb joint, your pinky finger, your little toe, your ankle, your knee, all the joints of the spine, your neck, guess what? They all make glucosamine. Mm-hmm. Now, here's where I'm going to take off in a little bit different direction here. What they found was that when they gave animals glucosamine, that somehow or another it seems to inhibit the conversion of glucose into energy, which I know I'm going to give you my 2 cents real quick. I want you to just consider and think about the idea that sugar, yes, your body can burn this for fuel or burn it for energy, just like you throw a gas on a fire, it burns. Sugar burns very dirty. That means it gives off a whole lot of debris. It's kind of like a truck that's in front of you, and the truck is a diesel engine vehicle, and they have removed the filter from it. So what happens is when they floor it, you got this big black cloud. It's like you're following a train in the 1880s, and it's like such thick smoke. Anyway, you get it. And so sugar burns dirty, whereas things like olive oil, coconut oil, butter, the fat in avocados. Did I mention olive oil yet? Well, what I'm getting at is those burn very, very cleanly. So sugar tends to burn so dirty it gives off a ton of free radicals. It makes more waste and debris. You get all this metabolic waste. That's because if you burn a lot of sugar, your body gets dirty. If you burn fat, it tends to burn pretty clean. And you tell me, do you want to be swimming in an ocean full of debris and toxins and waste, or do you want to be swimming in a clean ocean? Well, I want the one where there's like a clear blue turquoise water, and I can dive down and catch my own lobsters by hand. So what they found out was that when they gave animals glucosamine, that there's something about it that helps stop the body from converting so much glucose and energy. And I'm going, okay, well, what does that mean? So they had already previously shown that compounds that inhibit carbohydrate metabolism, sometimes that's called a low-carb diet if you don't eat sugar, it extends the lifespan of laboratory animals. And so if all they do is just decrease the amount of sugar that an animal takes in, guess what happens? They live longer. Or another way that you could say it is all the joints and the muscles and the organs, whether it's the brain or the heart or the kidneys, they seem to survive and do a lot better with less sugar. Does that make sense? So add that to the fact that some epidemiologists believe that glucosamine, it reduces the chance of developing some forms of cancer. And so this ain't rocket science, folks. If you don't have cancer, do you extend your life expectancy? Yes. And so what they did was researchers gave glucosamine to microscopic worms. I'm sure I'm going to butcher the name of the word. It's called the Canor habditus elegans. That's the name of the worm they gave it to. But it's one that they could study. And they also gave it, in addition to the worms, they gave it to laboratory mice. And so under the setting of testing glucosamine in both worms and mice, they just wanted to find out what happened. So the researchers wanted to see whether the lab animals would live longer as a result of the glucosamine. And so here's what they found. Both the worms and the mice, when they were fed glucosamine, they lived longer. The article says the red line in the graph below is a survival curve of the worms that have been given glucosamine. I realize you can't see the line, but if you'll take my word for it, at least this is a starting point. You can always look up the article yourself. Yeah, from the word go, all the worms lived incredibly longer when they took glucosamine sulfate. It's just the way it is. They survived longer. And they went on to say that glucosamine worked exactly as you'd expect. It inhibited glucose burning and the formation of ATP, which is a structural formula for energy used by the cells. Now, this is the part. I really have a point to make with this right here. And just just hear me out here. As a result of giving they gave him glucosamine, but as a result, it caused a disruption of the animal's metabolism, and which means their mitochondria started to make more free radicals such as hydrogen peroxide, which is H2O2, after 2 days. So when they give them glucosamine sulfate, all of a sudden their own mitochondria start making more free radicals. And I realize when you hear stuff like that, you're going, oh no, I do not want more free radicals. But let me tell you how this worked out. The cells they discovered after 2 days of making more free radicals, the cells reacted to this by stepping up their production of endogenous antioxidants such as superoxide dismutase and an enzyme called catalase. As a result of this concentration of free radicals in the cell, they actually went down, which reduced the tempo of aging. They didn't age as fast. And the reason why I'm saying this is I'm really trying to practice what I believe about this, because I was trying to explain this to a lady this last week about what happens when you fast. Because we're always told that free radicals are bad, but sometimes it's a form of stress that helps your body function and perform better and do a much better job at keeping you well or healing you. And that's one of the same things that fasting does. So when you purposely don't eat, you're telling your body to make more free radicals momentarily, but the net result is your body rises to the occasion and heals you. And so when the researchers gave mice glucosamine, guess what happened to them? They lived to be quite a bit older than the mice that had not been given glucosamine, and which I can't show you the chart. I've got graphs and charts, and to me, I like these things because I like knowing kind of numerically how does the data, or the is it data, how it works out. What the researchers did was they waited till the lab mice were exactly the age of 100 days, not years. Where do I want to pick this up? Okay. This is what they found with mice, which you understand a worm is not a mammal. Okay, it's not. Mice, they are mammals like we are. The mice that were given glucosamine compared to those that weren't given glucosamine, they started to burn more proteins. And so this is interesting right here, because they're saying now that there's some relationship between burning proteins and longer life. Isn't that interesting? That's one of the reasons why I think fasting is so good. I'm going to read the articles I didn't cover for you. Here's one article. I didn't even try to copy it off, but it says glucosamine inhibits tough kinds of cancer. Well, I haven't read that. I might. But it's interesting that they would bring that up, because I'm going, you mean glucosamine inhibits tough kinds of cancer? The answer is yes, it does. And so you need to think about these things. What if you want to keep your body in good working order? Well, that's why I'm reading to you about glucosamine. You can just buy it over the counter. I did come across an article years ago that said they looked at, and this study was done in both men and women. I don't even remember the title of the article, but I remember the punchline, because they did MRIs of the disc, and the disc that is between your fifth lumbar vertebra and your first sacral segment, if that disc bulges and you have a herniation, or sometimes somebody might call that a slip disc loosely, I know what they mean, they're in bad pain. If you have a herniated disc and you are in killer pain, it's going to be hard for you to go to work and do your job. And depending on the type of job you have, it may be literally impossible. So in this study, they showed that if they gave glucosamine sulfate for 2 years, they could basically heal those disc bulges. And all I did was just look at the images of the MRI, and I'm going, okay, here it is at the start. That's a pretty big honking disc bulge on that on the spinal cord or the nerves. No wonder the person has horrible sciatica and they can barely move. And the way they're walking, they're all twisted and bent over out of shape. Well, they can't straighten up. They got a disc bulge. They got a disc protrusion. But in 2 years, that disc protrusion resolved. Now, I'm not trying to claim this helps every single human case of a disc bulge, because, you know, there's differences. There's different ones. But for these, I saw it with my own two eyes. On the follow-up MRI, the bulge had reduced, and I thought, well, if it gets a person pain-free, not everybody's a good candidate for surgery. And maybe another way of saying it is, not every human being that you know and I know with a bulging disc on their spinal cord can afford the surgery. And if they don't work, they don't eat. You ever heard about that? Not everybody's ultra wealthy. So I like trying to find varied, and glucosamine is cheap. Comes from crab shells. Okay, here's the other article that I didn't copy off, but I thought about it. It says glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate, they protect against lung and colon cancer or bowel cancer. You got to admit, this is important to think about, because those are two really common forms of cancer. All right, I just looked at the clock. I've been talking for 20 minutes. It's kind of long. I'm not going to apologize, though, because I'm trying to give you good information. And the thing of it is, as you hear this, you get to decide if you want to do this. So let me give you a scenario. I'm going to give you the phone number first. The phone number here at the station, if you want to call me right now and ask me a question about health, or maybe a natural remedy, or a way that we can help tap into the body's healing ability, well, please feel free to call. The number is 903-586-5257. And there's a phone line open. I'm looking at it with my own two eyes right now. I'm turning my head to the right. I'm looking at it. Nobody's calling, so I'm going to keep talking. What if you had a family history of lung cancer or colon cancer? Yeah, glucosamine, baby. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to push the one button there. We'll start over. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
I have a question. I am doing well. I have a question for my son. He has got severe nasal congestion. What would you suggest?
Okay, we're going to have to cover this from two or three different angles, but do you mind telling me how long has he had this?
Maybe we're going on a week.
Okay, if you go to YouTube and you type in, I think his name is Ian McCowan. If I have it wrong, if you type in nasal unblocking technique, he has a very short video. I think his name is Ian. If it's not, the last name is McCowan. But if you look up oxygen advantage, and or just type in oxygen advantage and then nasal unblocking technique, he shows you the technique on how to unclog your nose. So that's free. I mean, if you've paid your electric bill, it's free. So that's one thing you can do right there. The other one that I would look at, and do you mind if I just give you like a whole bunch of different ideas, and that way you can pick and choose which ones you want?
Sure.
Okay. Have you ever heard of it's a very highly exotic oil called castor oil. Sometimes you can take and rub castor oil all over your sinuses on the outside of your nose. And I'm not making this up. I've seen that work over and over again. Now, am I promising that your son will breathe in 1 nanosecond after putting a drop of oil on his nose? No, but it can't hurt. But it does increase blood flow, so that's going to be good. There is a product that you can purchase at the health food store that's called, it's just nasal xylitol spray. And so xylitol is a natural sugar that comes from a birch tree that's doing its job by growing really tall, reaching up to the heavens and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me life." And they take the sap from the birch tree, and that's where they get xylitol from. So they have nasal xylitol spray. I don't think it costs much more than $5 or $6 for a spray bottle, but he can try spraying and sort of snorting that into his nose. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They have another one that's quite a bit stronger, and which I don't want your son to be angry at me, but it contains oregano. And I think the product is called SignU, which is SignU is just short for sinus. SignU is like sign us without the S on the end of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's called SignU Orega, short for oreganol. And so, do you get where I'm coming from? That if you spray this stuff up your nose, it may like burn like hellfire for a moment, because oregano is really potent stuff, if you know what I mean. You know what? If I thought that a vampire and werewolf were going to come to the house at night, I would spray oregano on the door. That they're never going to cross that sucker. And so you can get that one product. They do sell what are called neti pots. That can be worth a go. You can always just make the stuff at home. You can take a cup of very clean, warm water, and you can put easily 1 to 2 teaspoons of salt in there. Stir it up and try snorting that up your nose.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really, really bad, he may need to put like a warm to, when I say hot, I mean tolerable heat. I don't mean burn your face off hot. If he put a heating pad on his face, that may start the process where it can actually drain. Because if you can get it to start to drain, then you can actually snort some salt water up your nose.
Right.
So that would be some of the ways that we might take care of this for like the immediate issue.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call.
Those are doable. Thank you.
Well, you may not say it's doable after he takes that oregano and snorts it up his nose. He may say, Mom, I'm never going to forgive you. And you're going to say, it's Dr. Morgan's fault.
God bless you so
much
for everything you do for us.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you. And thanks for your phone call today.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, the phone line is open officially again. 903-586-5257. And you realize every human being is different. Sometimes what works for one person, it may not exactly work for the other. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, you talk about fasting, and I called last week, but I forgot to mention that I have to take medications in the morning with food. So how do I manage to do that and still keep the fast?
Well, we could do everything in reverse. So one way of fasting is doing what I might call a 24-hour fast. And you've heard of that, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay, so for most people, I might say something like this right here. What if tonight, which is Saturday night, you eat supper, but you purposely, when you wake up tomorrow morning, Sunday morning, you don't eat breakfast and you don't eat lunch, and you just eat supper. So what you've done is you've fasted for 24 hours, but you can't do that because you need to take your medicine with some food, and so you would do the opposite. So what you would do is, starting now, you would take your medicine and eat your breakfast, but you don't eat lunch and you don't eat supper. You drink all the water that you want. You could easily take herbal tea, which I like herbal tea. I think it tastes good, and study after study shows that it extends the quality of your life, which I'm for that. Keep your body in good working order. So does that make sense? You just might go from breakfast today until breakfast tomorrow.
It sounds hard.
Well, what part sounds hard?
Not eating all day after breakfast.
Well, you're right. But I can tell you what happens. The human body is amazing. When you deny it and you put it under some stress, it starts healing everything in sight. Can I tell you a story from this week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A woman said to me, she said, I've done 3 36-hour fasts. I don't know if it's done any good or not. I said, okay, step on the scales. I said, what did you weigh 3 weeks ago? She said, I weighed 181. She must have said 181 and a half. If I get that wrong, just close enough, half a pound. And so I said, let's step on the scales. And so when she stepped on the scales, she said, I'm 172 now. I said, well, that means you've lost, 9.5 pounds or 9 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, now I know why my pants are falling off. I said, yes, now we do. And so that was, but I did ask us, because, one of the questions that I like to ask a person, tell me about your mental clarity and tell me about how clear your mind is. And I can't even express to you how many people say, this is absolutely the clearest that my mind has ever been. I love the way that my mind works when I fast. And so when you fast, even though it's very hard, every time you're hungry, drink some herbal tea.
Okay.
But the I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is, obviously, well, I'm not recommending anything to torture you at all. But what happens is when you start fasting for about, I'm trying to look at the charts in my mind. Evidently, I can't remember. It's either 20 hours or at the 22-hour mark. When you fast for 20 hours without food, your body flips a lot of switches and it starts the process of increasing production of human growth hormone. I don't know that I'm going to overstate this or understate it, but as we age, human growth hormone production, it goes way, way down. It's nowhere the level it is when you're like 12 years old or 14 years old. Could you imagine a 14-year-old boy falling off the roof, lands on the grass, and pops back up and says, hey, not a big deal. I feel fine. Well, if I did that, you might have to come pick me up on a stretcher. But anyway,
right.
Human growth hormone, fasting really taps into how your body starts releasing more human growth hormone. And you're probably going to ask, well, why is that important? Because growth hormone, it does an amazing job of healing and repairing everything that's broken in the body or needs to be repaired. Now, I'm not trying to get distracted, but there are performance, human performance clinics in other parts of the world where they actually inject human growth hormone. And I remember one study, of course, it cost a lot of money because what they do is they harvest the growth hormone from the hypothalamus and pituitaries of cadavers. And don't think about that, whatever you do. So if you have $70,000 and you say, you know what, I want to feel really good again, fine, come to our clinic. Will that be Visa, MasterCard, check, or gold bars? But $70,000, I mean, that's a large chunk of money. But in one study, one injection over, I think it was 8 weeks on both men and women, they lost an average of like, I'm so sorry. I want to say it was 30 pounds of body fat just with a growth hormone injection. And the net gain on muscle was 8 pounds of muscle. Now, you know as well as I do, when you're older, you can't just pick up a dumbbell and say, wow, this is amazing. I've gained 8 pounds of muscle mass overnight. No, it doesn't happen that way, does it?
Right.
So growth hormone is really incredible. And so what if you got into the habit of just doing a 24-hour fast once a week, and then seeing what happens to your body? Are you pleased? Do you see some aches and pains go away? Do you lose weight? When I say lose weight, I mean getting rid of anything that doesn't benefit you, like extra fluid or waste or debris or toxins or fat, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But your body starts cleaning house massively when you fast. So did I mention it's free? Did I tell you that part yet?
Well, now let me ask you this. I have been told that I can do coffee with coconut oil and butter, unsalted butter, in my coffee, and eat a banana, and that would, I guess,
you could,
then
you could
I
always
can take my pills and,
yep.
and do that in the morning, and then not eat until go for 7 hours.
I say you try it.
Okay.
And the thing of it is, you can put everything to the test,
okay.
and ultimately you can find out what works best for you. Like I talked to a woman yesterday, and she says, my husband and I fasted for spiritual reasons, and we only fasted on liquids. And I said, what do those consist of? And she would talk about protein drinks and smoothies. As long as she could drink it through a straw, then that was count as a liquid. But obviously, she's consuming calories, and so when you consume calories, your body doesn't flip those switches to eat you, which is what you want. But I'm willing to try. I think it's great. And if you have the attitude that you want to try a banana with coffee, I think that sounds great.
Okay. So I could do that, take my morning pills, and then not eat again until nighttime, and that would be a fasting? I mean, that would work?
Well, yeah, a form of it. Yeah, but let me ask you this.
Okay.
What is it that you would like to see, or what is it that you'd like to accomplish, or what do you hope to see happen by doing this, or how do you want to improve yourself?
Well, I'm not worried about weight, but I would like for my body to be able to clean out and to eat the bad stuff that's in there.
Then this would do that. So, but
this wait a minute. When you say this, are you talking about what you said or what I said?
Well, I know for a fact what I said works for sure because I get to test it on. I mean,
right.
My job is actually extremely easy because I come up with brilliant questions like, how did that work for you? I'm just joking.
Well, I'm kind of like the other lady. How do you know it's working? You know, I have no way to test it. So how do I know that the fast is working?
Well, can I give you two ideas?
Sure.
All right. What if you did this once a week for, say, 3 weeks, just as an arbitrary number, or four mm-hmm. weeks, it doesn't matter, but you've done it enough to say, okay, what's the net result here? Well, I would say your energy production would be one of the first things that I would look at. And so I'm going to use a little bit different terminology, but I'm still going to try to answer the question for you. But sometimes what a human being really needs is they need to have a do-over, or they need to do a reset, or a restart, or uh-huh. renewal, regeneration, rejuvenation, whatever you want to call it. But I would say that fasting, it really can go a long way to accomplishing that, because what you're doing is, it's a really big reset. And so what you're doing is you're telling your body, I need you to repair stuff and start producing more energy for us. And so if you tell me in 3 weeks that you actually have more energy at the end of 3 weeks than what you have now, then I would say that's one thing. And I know that sounds simple. It's not like we're doing a scientific test where we're running you through an MRI and taking fluid samples. You can do that if you want. But if you went to the doctor before and after and did labs before and after, what if all your labs improved after a month? That might be proof also. But I would say energy production and mental clarity would be the first couple things. And I can tell you the other stuff. The big ones for me because I hear people talk all day long. What happened? And like I had a gentleman, and this is not necessarily fair to say it this way because it was more than 3 weeks it took. But he said, you know what? I couldn't even open and close my hands because I had so much pain. Just the pain was horrible in my fingers and hands. And he said, Dr. Morgan, it's gone. I said, what do you mean by gone? He said, I don't have it anymore. But he was just describing that it happened very subtly. So, for years he had horrible, horrible hand pain. Are you with me?
Yes.
And then it disappeared. So it was just subtle how it left. So I realize that may not sound impressive, but I like it. Because,
oh, yeah, I like that, too.
And so that's one of the things that he noticed. But all you're doing, really, is you're just trying to say, what can I do to help my body repair itself faster and better and more thoroughly? And so if you had more mental clarity, if you said your energy was better, if maybe you had fewer aches and pains, and, you know, like I talked to a person the other day, I said, okay, what's worse? Waking up in the morning pain and stiffness wise or going to bed at night? And they said, oh, every single time. I always wake up stiffer and hurting more in the morning than I did when I went to bed. So there's something we can look at, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if the person wakes up and says, oh, Dr. Morgan, you're never going to believe it. Let me guess, you're not hurting when you wake up? How'd you know? But so it could be very simple things like that. And then maybe a third or fourth, if somebody makes a comment when they see you at church and they say, is there something different about you? Because and you say, why do you ask, pray tell? And they say, well, your eyes look clearer, or your skin looks clearer, or your skin looks better. And you realize they're not trying to slam you and say, you look like you had leprosy this time last week. That's not what they're doing. But they just make a notice and an observation. So it may be subtle with you, but it's okay to get feedback from somebody else, and they say, you know what, your skin just seems to be glowing more.
Mm.
And you're going to say, that's because the brilliant Dr. Morgan talked me into fasting. No, I'm just joking about that.
Well, you have talked me into it. I've been doing it this week with the coffee and the banana.
Okay.
And I can I feel better on those days. Well, I've been doing it every other day, like you had suggested.
Well,
last
how do you
week.
How do you feel better?
Well, I guess in a way I do have less pain, but I have taken away sugar and nightshade vegetables and things like that to try to reduce the inflammation in my body.
Well, do you think your body is in turn saying thank you very much and it's doing better now?
I do. Okay. I'm getting over having broke both my pelvic, both sides of my pelvic.
Good
broken.
Night. I mean, how much stress can a woman handle? That's like a bit. And so, but at least if you tell me that you're doing better, then I'm going to say I totally believe you.
Well, I'm walking without any aids. I'm able to walk and do everything that I need to do. I'm a little stiff, and especially in the mornings, I'm a little stiff.
Does this mean you're going to go sit on the front row at church tomorrow morning?
And praise the Lord?
Or because you can walk that far now, or
oh,
it's easier
yes.
to walk. No,
well,
I was trying to be funny.
I live in an assisted living, I live in an independent living.
Yeah.
And I'm able to walk all over the building now.
Oh, look at you. Good job.
Yeah.
Well, see,
so,
you're getting your strength back.
Yes, and I really do want to do this fasting, and I want to help a friend who has rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, well, that'll do it, I promise you.
Yeah, if I can just make her believe it, she's doing everything else except it. She won't.
Well,
just,
let me
know.
Give you a little bit different take on this, because I'm really proud of you. This sounds very impressive, so thank you so much for what you're sharing with me. But so if you fast 1 or 2 days a week, well, the other days that you're actually eating, you probably have a little bit more liberty to eat more food than what you normally do just to make up for when you're fasting.
Yeah, I do notice that.
Okay.
But at night especially, I'm going to bed pretty full, and I don't like that feeling.
Well, do you think you're eating a little bit too much in the evening meal then?
I eat soup and salad, but I think it may be the crackers that I added.
Are they those little oyster crackers?
No, they're but I do notice that the ones I bought this time have a lot of salt, and I'm thinking that the salt makes me want to eat more crackers, and
probably so.
I'm fixing to do away with that.
I think the motto for crackers they've used in advertising is nobody can eat just one.
That's chips.
Well, oh, well, which chip are you referring to? I don't really remember. Refresh my memory.
Well, I think it's a potato. There's some kind of chip, but I don't eat potato chips. I don't eat potatoes anymore.
Are they called Ruffles?
Oh, now that could be. Yeah, that is right.
Let me ask you this. What kind of soup do you like to eat?
Well, I usually eat what they have.
Oh, I'm with you.
Unless it has tomatoes in it, and then I don't. But a lot of the soups are cream, like a cream of broccoli or cream of spinach or
Do you
vegetable.
Do well with those?
I guess.
Well, I mean, do they
I'm
sit heavy on your stomach?
Some but I think it's the crackers.
Did you say crackers?
Yes.
Okay. Well, at least you're catching on to that. Do they ever serve anything like a clam chowder? Anything with protein?
Oh yeah.
Do you like that sort of stuff?
Uh huh.
Oh man, how can you eat clam chowder without those oyster crackers? I think there's a law in Congress pending over that. Okay.
We don't have that very often, but every once in a while, and we do have gumbo and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate your phone call today. It's been really good.
Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you, and have a great day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. See, that would be, for me, one of the greatest fun or sources of fun going on a vacation is if you go to a legitimate, real seafood restaurant where they really know what they're doing. I like that stuff. I love gumbo. And I really like clam chowder, too, if it's good. It's so hard to beat. Okay. If nobody calls, I have one additional article that I can cover. This one won't take long at all. But we have a phone call that is much more important. Good morning. Thank you for your phone call. Hello, how are you? Can you hear me? I can hear you breathing. Well, for some reason, maybe they couldn't hear me. I do have the buttons pushed now, so if you want to call back, please feel free to do so. It's 903-586-5257, and I'll get you right on the phone. Anyway, let me start the other article. If I don't finish it, it's not that big of a deal, but this one is like the first one. You know how I read the article about glucosamine sulfate and they're showing that it extends lifespan? Part of my thought process is I thought to myself, okay, if your joints are worn out and you've had one injury after the other, what does that do to the body as a whole? Well, it wears you down. And so I thought, well, if you take glucosamine sulfate and the body automatically makes the stuff anyway, but under stress, it may not be able to make enough. So if you keep your muscles and joints in good working order, does that preserve all the other systems in your body? Yes, because it doesn't use up all the resources. I mean, this is not really a deep rocket science conversation, but your body can only handle so many surgeries and so many injuries until it just can't do it anymore. It gets worn out. Okay, we'll try again. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today, sir?
I'm great. Got one question for you.
Okay.
I substitute honey for sugar. Is that, am I doing the right thing?
I think you're using the best form of sweetener of all time besides just eating fruit.
Okay. All right. I use it in my coffee, and that's about the only thing I have. Put honey in.
I would rather you use raw honey to sweeten your coffee with than I would any other substance you could put in there.
Okay, great. And then the other question is glucosamine you're talking about. Is that the pill form glucosamine?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Well, that's what I wanted to know.
And, okay.
Appreciate everything you do.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Thanks for your phone call today, and I hope you have a great Saturday.
Thanks, you too.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. Okay, so let me read this to you. It's not long at all. Okay. Like I referred to earlier, glucosamine sulfate, it's known to protect the joints and improve the joints, just kind of like the study that I read about the men that had bulging discs. Well, if you take it long enough. And the other point is, you have to understand, a ruptured bulging herniated disc, that does not repair itself in one nanosecond, no, or one day, or one month. That's why I like the study where it took them 2 years to get the job done. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Hi, how are you?
Oh, yeah. Do you have anything to help agoraphobia? I mean, do you have a suggestion?
Agoraphobia?
Afraid to go outside, afraid to go places.
Yes, I know exactly what works, but I can't tell you what is on the air.
Oh.
And I'm sorry about that. It's a natural substance, but it's considered highly questionable by the powers that be, but it's it just grows in nature, but I've never seen anything else work perfectly like this.
And you can't tell me what it is?
Not on the air, no.
So would I, how would I, can I call, I mean, what do I do then? Call you back?
You could call my office number and I will return your phone call.
Okay.
And then that's, do you have a pencil handy?
I'm sorry, because I hear you talk. How can you be talking to me and on air?
That's because you have your radio on. If you turn the, there's a little radio delay.
Echo, stop. Okay.
Wow, the computer listens to your voice. It knows you.
Yeah, it's Alexa.
So the phone number is 903-586-8114.
Okay.
And I will tell you, but I'm gonna claim plausible deniability. I'm gonna say.
Oh, I hear you.
I have no knowledge of a woman that called me with agoraphobia. No way.
Right.
We never had that conversation. Never.
I hear you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your phone call. Bye bye. Echo, answer questions for me from now on. I'm just joking. All right, this article about glucosamine, what they did was they did a large, and I'll just read the study to you, but there's a large epidemiological study that suggests that glucosamine greatly reduces mortality. It protects against cardiovascular disease, which you already know the number one killer in America is going to be heart disease. It's probably because of what sin does to the heart more so than it does to what cigarettes do, and also cancer. According to a recent study that comes from Hong Kong, glucosamine may also reduce the risk of dementia. Folks, I don't know if you know what this means, but a lady told me this week that just about all her best friends have dementia or Alzheimer's, and I just thought, oh my word, I hear these stories all the time. It's increasing, it's not decreasing, so there's something wrong here. Here's the study. Researchers at Hong Kong University of Science and Technology analyzed the data, or is that data? I know one's referring to information and the other one's referring to how you use the information or something like that. I need to go back and read those definitions. So they analyzed the data of nearly 494,814 people from Great Britain. Okay. This comes from the UK Biobank project. The average age in this study, participant, they were 55 years of age. So if you're 55, that's way old, super old. I'm joking. The researchers were able to follow the study participants for exactly 9 years. So they didn't do this in 9 weeks or 9 months. They took 9 years of following people. Which I kind of like that. That's like a pretty good length of time to figure out what's going on here. During the study, 2,458 participants, well, they had been diagnosed with some form of dementia. The researchers knew exactly what the lifestyle of the study participants was. So they also knew that 19% of them also use glucosamine because they reported they did. Here's the results right here. Supplementation reduced the risk of dementia by 20%. Well, folks, in the world that we're living in, you need every tactical advantage that you can get your hands on. What if reducing the risk of dementia by 20% means you live for 87 years with no problem before you, Dude, do it. Okay. Now, there is a form of dementia. They call it vascular dementia, or sometimes I think it's referred to as microvascular dementia. And what that means is, for a variety of reasons, they're just not able to get enough oxygen and blood flow to the brain cells. Or I could say all the nutrients that the blood carries with it. So do you get where I'm coming from here? If you do not have great blood flow to the brain cell, how can you expect it to work right? So if they looked exclusively at vascular dementia, the reduction in the risk of dementia was an even 28%. So that's even better. Which vascular dementia is probably a component in every form of dementia. So glucosamine did that. Now, here's the part that I like. I don't know if anybody else likes this stuff, but I do, because I always want to know, how does stuff work? You know, if I didn't do this for a living, I think I'd be like an automobile mechanic or a diesel mechanic, because I like to know how things work. Or something else mechanical. Anyway, those are just ideas. So, as a popular supplement that can pass through the blood-brain barrier, that comes from Biomedical Biochemistry Archives, 1985, they're referring to glucosamine, that glucosamine may actually get to what's called the hippocampus and the striatum in the cortex, write the researchers. Which I don't know if you know this, but dementia is usually diagnosed by an MRI of the hippocampus, and if it's shrunken by 22%, they go, bingo, your mother or your father has dementia. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for calling KBJS Christian Radio.
JP, that is you. No, it's my fault. What I did was I waited too long to push the button, so therefore it went straight to the answering machine. But you got to admit, JP has got a most excellent voice. It's like perfect. He's so precise all the time. He's told me many times I should come up here for pointers, and I need to do that. Anyway, so what they're saying is the mechanism, they've shown that glucosamine somehow or another lowers C-reactive protein. That's a marker for inflammation. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Would you tell me if there are any negative side effects from drinking apple cider vinegar?
If you drink small amounts, no. If you drink large amounts and you have an ulcer in your stomach, it's going to like burn like hellfire. You're going to double over in pain.
It doesn't affect the heart at all.
Not in small amounts, no. I mean, let me back up. There are studies that show that if a person has type 2 diabetes, that if they sip just a little bit of apple cider vinegar, like diluted in water before they eat, their glucose levels go down significantly. So that's positive. Now, from my observations, I have seen people that if they overdo the apple cider vinegar and they're prone to arthritis, oh yeah, I've seen it make their hand arthritis much, much worse. And that's not common, though. That's just, I shouldn't say uncommon. Well, okay, I'll say that's very uncommon for me to observe that. But after it's happened about 3 times in 34 years, I always kind of pay attention if a person says, can apple cider vinegar mess you up, Dr. Morgan, because my body hurts worse. Well, for a few people it does, but for most people it's really good.
Okay. I'm just wondering because I listened to a podcast and they talked about negative side effects from taking apple cider vinegar.
What did they say exactly?
You know, I can't remember, so I don't want to give out false information, but something about the heart.
No, and listen, there have been times that I've just been wrong about something, and I read an article, and I go, oh, that, now that I learned that. But I would love to, you know what, I'm going to do a literature search when I get home, and I'll see if I can't figure that out for you, because I want to know, too, also. I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so, so much, ma'am.
All right, bye-bye.
Hope you have a good day. Bye-bye. Man, I have been humbled before because I thought I was so right about a topic, and like I was talking about flaxseed earlier. Well, if you're a man with prostate cancer, you don't want to go anywhere near flaxseed. You just don't. And but I want to be open to the idea that maybe apple cider vinegar in some people. And, you know, I can tell you where my mind is going to go toward this. If she heard a podcast where they were talking about the negative effects of apple cider vinegar on a heart, what I'm curious about is what kind of drugs is the person taking? And for all I know, there may be 4 different heart medications or blood pressure drugs or diuretics they're taking that don't go hand in glove with apple cider vinegar. So you do know there's a thing called a drug-nutrient interaction, which means drugs may cause severe nutrient depletions, or they may not react well with nutrients. So you get where I'm coming from. So that's what I would guess it would be, but I'm going to find out. I'll look it up, and I'll let you know what I come up with. It's been really good to be with you. May the Lord bless you on every level, and it's so good that we get to think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his tremendous sacrifice to free us from the burden of all our sins. I think the Bible tells us that he is our propitiation. He's the atonement for all of God's wrath and anger because of our sins. So thank you, Lord.